HD KXNO. Ken Miller, Trent Condon. They are Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to a Friday edition of Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. Trent and I with you right up until noon as we talk football with you. A busy, busy program coming up, as Fridays seemingly always are during the fall months, on the BMW of Des Moines guest list here today. Our first stop is going to be with Dylan Montz. We'll get our last look at Iowa State. They host Texas. I'm seeing was it Alex Halstead who mentioned that he spoke to Chip Brown? And the media is even afraid to come up to Ames in this weather.
It's chilly.
It's going to be 40-something degrees, Trent.
I got shorts on today. It was going to hit 45 as a high. And I've already had a couple of people give me crap today. But, yes, it's beautiful. It's warm.
The media is even... Maybe there is something to this. I always thought it was overblown. I really did.
No. These are Texas guys that aren't used to the cold.
I guess. We'll see. But nonetheless, I'm just blown away by this. Where do they think they're going? It's Ames, Iowa.
It's cold.
Middle of November.
Yeah, it's a wind tunnel up there. It's cold.
I guess. Anyways,
so you're from Canada.
It's true. It's a little colder up there. Dylan Mott's going to join us at 10:25. 10:45. Hawkeye Reports. Tom Cakert will be here. We'll get our last look at Iowa State as they take on Minnesota. The point spread continues to stay flatline, right?
Mm-hmm.
Three.
Yes.
Right across the board. So I guess they're getting even action on this football game. We'll talk to Tom Cakert about it. Josh Agundale will mix in some of that as well. Likewise with Dylan on Iowa State's basketball recruiting class. At 11 o'clock, we'll get into the NFL. The Packers are off, so no Dave Sinekin. The Chiefs don't play until Monday, so no Nick Athan. But Jeff Hughes will help us preview the Bears as they will play on the road Sunday night football against the Rams. And then Ted Glover will opine on the Vikings and the Denver Broncos. 11:20, Bama Bob, Trent, and I go around college football. Claxons is going to provide some barbecue for us to give away. Our pick sponsored by Iowa Real Estate. With Jeff Hughes and the Sunday Nighter, and again, I'm not certainly wishing my weekend away by any means. I'm looking forward to this game. I think it's got a chance to be close. Maybe not blow you away 35, 33, 32 close. 13-10 close
but not compelling.
Maybe the compelling part of which of the two quarterbacks will try and outdo themselves as far as underperforming, because Jared Goff, Trent, don't look now.
Oh, he's been bad.
Yeesh.
But Trubisky's
a he's in class by himself. Bad, not by himself, there's other ones, but two guys, Trent, and with the Rams in particular, I mean, there's no getting away from Jared Goff. They've just paid him.
They did. Yeah. Now the problem with these young guys, and when you pay them, is just it changes the structure of your team.
Yes.
Seattle had the window of opportunity with Russell Wilson when he was on a rookie contract.
Right.
That has now gone away.
No, it's a huge, huge plus when you can get that.
Now, what you need to do is have that quarterback go from good, solid, and take the leap. That's
like
what Russell Wilson did.
Yep.
He took the leap, and he became more than just, he can make some plays out there. And
he's the MVP in the league right now, I think.
Now he's the MVP.
Yep.
Are we seeing the same thing happen down in Dallas with Dak Prescott? We've talked so much over the last couple of years. This is their window right now.
Right.
But what he did against that Minnesota defense Sunday night, and there's been quite a few of those games this year.
I like him, Trent.
I do too. And if he is making that leap, then you can afford to pay him the going rate for a quarterback. But if he's not...
And there's some other dudes on that Cowboys team that have gotten paid and will or need to get paid.
But you Rams will not be able to pay them.
No, I agree with you. I mean, look at Seattle. Look at all the legion of boom. Gone.
Yes.
Broken up.
And that's what happened. So the Rams made the decision. Doesn't look like a good one for
them.
They've
got Donald. They're attached to Todd Gurley.
Mm-hmm.
Ramsey's coming up. They got some guys that they're going to have to pay. So it promises to be competitive.
Competitive. Sunday night close.
I am looking
first
forward
to 17.
To it. Right. So let's go back to last night. I guess we should opine on the subject that everybody's talking about here today, and we'll continue to talk about, I think, for at least until college football gets here tomorrow, and that's the Myles Garrett, Mason Rudolph dust up at the end of the football game yesterday. And look, it's egregious. It's certainly suspendable. It's not the worst I've ever seen in sports. It's the worst maybe I've ever seen in football. Although Lyle Alzado, and the rule was changed. You know what? I'm going to retweet this. Somebody tweeted this to me. If you don't follow my Twitter, you're welcome to do so. We are accepting new followers.
Oh, you are?
At I'm Ken Miller.
Okay.
That's
on kind
Twitter.
Of you.
Yeah.
You didn't put the account to private.
No, we are accepting new followers. So he tweeted me this, and I forgot about this. Back in 1982, the Raiders and the Jets played in a playoff game, and Lyle Alzado ripped an offensive lineman's helmet right off of his head and didn't kabong him over the head with it, but threw it at him.
Okay.
And as you will see, Matt Millen, who was a teammate of Lyle Alzado's, he's actually the, because Lyle Alzado's passed on. So Matt Millen's a big part of it, but it takes you back into a different era. This isn't the first time this has happened. I think what we saw last night was worse, because instead of throwing it, he actually used it as a weapon, meaning he tried to club it over the head. Mm-hmm. Look, there's been worse in hockey. There has been. The worst I ever saw, and I know there's been a lot of Todd Bortuzzi and Marty McSorley was trending on Twitter today. Those were bad.
And those were recent.
Those were more recent. 1969, the worst one I ever saw. The Blues and the Bruins, guy by the name of Ted Green, and Wayne Mackey for the St. Louis Blues, and he wore a helmet. This is when players didn't wear helmets.
Okay.
There was one on both teams. There was one guy wearing a helmet, Wayne Mackey, and he took his stick and swung it like an axe where you're coming down to chop wood. And there's no video of it, but there's pictures of it. If you're sitting in your cubicle, Ted Green, Boston Bruins, Wayne Mackey, M-A-K-I, St. Louis Blues, and you can see Ted Green's eyes rolling in the picture of it in the back of his head. And he missed the entire year. He had brain damage. I mean, brain damage.
Wow.
But think how bad it must have been in 1969 for you to be diagnosed with brain damage, mm-hmm. right? I mean, we see guys going, and rightly so, seemingly, you know, every quarter we see in concussion protocol. But that's not making, minimizing what we saw last night. It's a terrible play. It's one that's, I don't know if it's criminal. I mean, I know that the McSorley one was. Mm-hmm. I even think the Ted Green, Wayne Mackey in the 60s was got to the criminal level. I'm not sure this one will.
Well, and there is a level that you are, when you walk onto a sporting field.
Especially one, Trent, where this, not this kind of play is expected, but these are gladiators, right?
People say, well, that happened on the street, that's assault. Absolutely.
Of course it is.
If you picked a guy up at the bank and threw him down, that's also assault.
Anywhere.
That's what happens on the football field.
Right.
If you drop your gloves when you're sitting at the bus stop and get in a fight, that's assault.
Right.
In hockey,
That's 5 minutes
second
for
period.
Fighting.
Right.
Second period.
We're talking about...
Now, it used to be worse, but it's not as bad. I get your blessed.
So the point is, when you are taking the field, when you are taking the ice, when you are taking the court, there is a certain expectation that you're walking into.
It's a physical game.
I don't
now,
know...
Now, you're not expecting to get hit on the head by an opponent.
You're not.
Helmet.
You're not. But there is... When you do that, mm-hmm. you're not on the street. This
right.
is this is different.
It is.
I don't know what the legalese would be behind that, but it's a different avenue. When you're already starting out your conversation with, well, if that happened yeah. here, you're losing the argument because it didn't. It happened where these mm-hmm. are paid people going in a profession you know is physical. There's going to be contact. There is going to be hitting.
And now
these
Garrett snapped. I mean, let's be honest. Garrett
yes.
snapped. And
yes.
Do you think he deserves to be suspended? I do. I mean,
I think he should be done for the year.
I do too.
Yes.
I don't think he should carry on. I mean, I think mm-hmm. Bama Bob's going to join us. And I saw Bama tweet today. He said, not for the rest of the year, for an actual year. See, Bama
one
wants
calendar
a, yeah,
year.
Yeah, 1 year calendar year, November the 15th.
Which in a way, I understand, because if this would have happened back in September, he probably would have been suspended for the rest of the year. So.
But do you take away the off season? I mean, you're rebuilding your team. I don't know.
I don't try to rebuild him. And I think that's an important part, too. This is a guy, his first
Trent,
game.
He's elite.
You saw him, I think, against the Broncos. Wasn't it against Simeon where he got fined $50,000?
No, this isn't his first rodeo.
Yeah,
I mean,
for picking up Simeon and
absolutely.
Basically, literally, body slamming him to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy that is incredibly physical. Probably something else there that needs to be done as opposed to, I just sit him out. Get him away from the team for a year.
Right.
I don't think that's the best course of action for Myles Garrett.
No, and Trent, he's got a chance to be one of the most imposing defensive players in the game.
Absolutely.
He's got this kind of talent. Number one overall pick. But he snapped at the end of the foot. And here's the crazy thing about it. His team was winning.
Right.
It's not like he watched his quarterback throw four picks. I thought Mason Rudolph, while he was on the ground, attempted to rip off Garrett's helmet.
Yes.
They're wrestling on the ground, and maybe that's the only thing that that Rudolph could get his arms around, but then it just escalated from there, and I have no trouble with Pouncey jumping into the phrase. He's going to, you know, protect his quarterback.
No surprise that he missed his target, Mason Rudolph.
Yeah.
He was awful. And that's the other part. There was something that happened with Rudolph. In fact, when we find out everything here, I wouldn't be surprised if Rudolph gets something, some kind, if not a suspension, for going after a player like he did. Something else had to happen there, right?
Something precipitated. Now, I can see why he's a little hot under the collar. I mean, he stunk the joint out on national television.
That, I think it was third, maybe it was the fourth. No, it was the fourth interception. When they had that shot of him coming to the sidelines.
Well, you see some of his teammates, too.
And he was saying every word under the, you could just see the anger coming out of him.
How about his teammates? I mean, just not... they were disgusted with the quarterback's play.
As
I don't think as they should be. But look, I don't know where this one's going to end. I do expect that we will get some resolution here very quickly. I don't think this one's going to linger. And I would be surprised if Myles Garrett plays football again. Here's the thing. Steelers were, you know, they were clawing their way back into contention into the playoffs. You know, you talked about it earlier in the week. It was a different way we're watching these Steelers. It was, you know, back to that iron curtain. It was back to the way these guys were, you know, not the mean Joe Green and the Greenwood and the Holmes, etc. Not that kind and that Lambert and the Hams and the Blunts and, you know, those teams in the 70s. That they had so many dudes that could play defense. But this was a different type of Steelers team, and they were right back in the mix. It's unfortunate that the game ended the way it did, but we shall see what kind of punishment is meted out.
One of my other biggest takeaways I had in my notes, I wanted to get your perspective on this, Ken, was right away on the field afterwards, they go to Baker Mayfield. Aaron Andrews asked him about that. I figured, as soon as the question was being uttered by Aaron Andrews, well, you know, we'll talk about that as a team.
Right.
No, he didn't.
Good for him, right?
He didn't.
Yep.
Baker Mayfield is taking a lot of arrows this season.
Mm-hmm.
Are we seeing a young man that is starting to grow up? A young man that is understanding this is now professional sports. You had the chip on your shoulder. You had to walk on at Texas Tech. Yep. And you had to walk on at Oklahoma.
You got in a fight with a reporter within the last 2 or 3 weeks?
He still hates Trent Dilfer because he didn't select him for the Elite 11 as a high school player.
Is that right?
All of these different chip on the shoulder. I'm going to use this as motivation.
That could be, Trent. That's an excellent point. My favorite Baker Mayfield story from this year, do you remember the Denver game? He showed up with a full beard.
Oh, yeah.
He comes out, he takes the field, and he's got, what do you call those things, a Fu Manchu? Then he shows up at the press conference after the game, and it's just a normal,
mustache.
Like a porn stash, what he looked. So he had three different looks. He went from full beard, shaved before the game, shaved after the game. It's just a weird dude, right? I mean, he's having one of those disappointments. But excellent pickup on your behalf. Maybe he... became a little bit of a leader last night. Like you, I was expecting a non-answer.
A canned response.
Right. Aaron Andrews had to ask him the question.
Absolutely.
She did, good to her credit.
Yep.
And I'm not surprised by that. She's terrific.
She is.
Good point. Good pickup. Very good pickup.
Baker Mayfield, hopefully, because I'm rooting for the guy. I still am. I'm rooting for him because I always have a soft spot in my heart for the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
And coupled with, he's a fun guy to root for.
Yeah.
Is he on TV too much with the commercials? Yeah.
Absolutely, this year
he deserve the national spotlight he has?
Not till he gets more accurate.
Right. But I was happy to see that and happy to see him stand up there. He stood up at the podium also. That is being a professional.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that's what we're seeing out of Baker Mayfield. And this isn't just a blip on the radar.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, let's move on. Let's get to the two needle movers again. Tom Caker coming up at the bottom of the... Tom's right, first. No, Dylan's first.
Dylan's second.
Dylan's 10:30, Tom's 10:45. So let's talk a little bit about Iowa State, Texas. What do you expect? What kind of game, as you think about this game, is this a high-scoring football game? Is the point spread right? Where are you on this one?
I don't anticipate this is going to be a 45-42 type of game. I don't see that.
In the 30s, though? I think the whoever wins is going to score 30 points.
I think so, yeah. Maybe 31-27, something in that range I can buy, but not the shootout, Big 12 shootout that you think of. Cold weather, defense getting healthy for Texas.
Mid-40s.
Cold weather for Texas.
Okay.
Ellinger going to be on the ground, pounding it. They're going to be taking their shots. I wonder about schematically what Iowa State, I always love to see what the game plan is, what that defensive staff comes up with every week. And it's something different. Yeah. It's going to be, you know, the umbrella coverage back behind and what they're going to do. You know, early on, what was the game plan to try to slow down Jalen Hurts? It didn't work very well.
Make him throw the football.
Right. But that's, what are they going to do here against, you talk about two quarterbacks completely different. They both can run the football, but Hurts is about getting outside the pocket and using the speed and then going up the field when he's outside the pocket. Sam Ellinger? Just a big dude.
He's a big dude.
I mean, he's got tree trunks.
He'll run
for legs.
Here's my question about Texas. What have they been K-State by? And I guess I never even realized in my giddiness to get to the top of the playoff rankings. You know how I love that show, and I know how you don't like me talking about it on Wednesday.
You love that thing.
I do love the show.
It's just a TV show.
I get it.
You want to come in here? Do you want to talk about Saturday Night Live every Monday?
No. But I do want to talk about the playoff. So I guess somehow this had slipped past. Texas beat K-State, what, by a touchdown?
Three.
By three?
Yeah.
It was a close game.
Yeah.
Texas jumped from out of the poll to 19 in the poll. On the basis of what?
They beat Kansas State.
They beat Kansas State by three.
Yeah.
See, Kansas State team that beat Oklahoma? I thought it was a touchdown. So that, you think, well, you know what? Maybe. I mean, I guess that's not crazy.
It was a quality victory. It's very difficult to understand the justification behind it. And what and that's something that maybe does also annoy me about the playoff rankings.
Right.
Is it so arbitrary?
Right.
There is not... The committee member, whoever's talking that year, is going to be talking out about both sides of his mouth. He's going to say something, and this is the metric they're using, the reason they have this team ranked, and then they'll talk about another team later. Mm-hmm. It'll be a completely set of criteria that they're using there. There isn't a hard and true, fast system. And maybe that's why I get annoyed by the whole thing, because, I don't know, just come out and say, why is Alabama fifth? Alabama's fifth because they're Alabama.
Right.
Just say that. Because we all know that's the real reason behind it, but they're never going to say that.
No.
Never going to say that. If this was a measure of truly your ranking of what these teams have done this year, and you take Alabama off there, and they're not wearing the red helmets
but
with
you know
the
what
numbers
it is,
on it.
And to I think maybe where I'll ask you to tap the brakes a little, and you may not want to, is again, it's who they think are the best teams in college football. That's a big part of their task or their criteria. They look at Alabama. And I get it. They've beaten nobody.
Mm-hmm.
And the touchdown they scored in the final minute of the football game makes that game look as closer than it was, because it was never a close football game, in my opinion. And maybe because of Tua. But they think that Alabama is one of the best teams in the country. I can't poke holes at that.
If Mississippi State had the exact same resume.
Exact same resume? What I think that
they're not fifth. With a home loss to LSU, they're not fifth.
No. Look at there's name recognition. I'm not going to dispute that part of it. I'm not.
They could be putting up points just like they. And they had their own version of Tua out there doing their thing in the Bulldogs. Well,
they had their own version of Tua. He's a right-handed Tua. Now he's under center for the boys.
And Mississippi State with a nice start, and they're sitting at 12th because their name is Mississippi State and there's Alabama. And that's fine, because I do believe when you were measuring this team's, not historical data, but what these teams have been, should play a little bit of a part. If you're really trying to get the four best teams, what these programs are also should be a piece of it.
That's fair. I mean, look, they've got as good a receiving core as you're going to find in college football. They can run the ball, too. When he's healthy, is good. Offensive line is all right. Defense, got some guys. Not enough this year. That's the difference in Alabama, in my opinion, this year. They're just not as good defensively.
So Texas checks in at 19.
Right. I don't get it. So let's do Iowa real quick here, because we've got Tom Caker coming up. The point spread is 3. It's been flat all week. Trent, the Gophers have impressed the hell out of me, especially since the calendar's turned to October. I've watched this team get better week in, week out, week in, week out. They keep getting better. Their arrow continues to point upward. Yet I feel this is a really tricky spot for them. I do. I don't think that Iowa's as good as Penn State. I don't think that they're as good as some of the teams that we've seen. But I think that this Iowa team is going to give Minnesota all that they want.
Much as we talked about Iowa State and their defensive game plan, I'm excited to see what Phil Parker comes up with here. He tried to push every single button last week mm-hmm. against Wisconsin. They come out in a 4-4. When's the last time you saw a 4-4 outside of high school?
No, it's you don't see it. No, you don't.
But they tried to do something, and missing Christian Welch was a big blow
to
that
team. And they may miss him again this week.
But this Minnesota team does it differently. Uh-huh. And now what are they going to do? Is this going to be a game where they go cash? Are they going to go nickel or dime? Uh-huh. Are we going to see the traditional 4-3? What in the first half of the game, Minnesota killed Penn State on the RPOs. I mean, just no clue at all what to do
and
in those.
And this is a hell of a defense that they're confounding.
But they were able to negate those defensive ends in that front four with the RPOs. Mm-hmm. And then every single time it was, when they were throwing it out of the RPO, it was a slant route, and they got 16, and then they pull it out, and they make a play up the field. That's what they were able to do. Phil Parker knows how to coach defensive backs.
Yes, he does.
He is going to have something in place here to slow that down.
And he better, because he's going up against a pretty good core of receivers over there.
Oh, this is the best group. This is a better group.
In the Big Ten.
Better than Michigan. And Michigan has a ton of talent in that wide receiver room.
Yes, absolutely.
But when you're talking about the top three guys... Mm-hmm. Maybe not 1 through 8,
nope,
everybody there, but 1 through 3,
collectively,
Minnesota is at the top.
Yep.
They'll be ready to go. I think Phil Parker will have a game plan.
He better.
And so many times we've seen disappointment, that clouded negativity really start to surround Iowa football. And credit to Kirk Ferentz, when those clouds and those seeds of doubt mm-hmm. really start to creep in, it seems like they're able to pounce out of it pretty quickly. There's something to be said about the 24-hour rule. I know I roll my eyes when I read Kirk talk about that from time to time, but when that mantra, it permeates inside of it. We talk about the culture that PJ Fleck, Phil Fleck built up there. Kirk Ferentz has also built a pretty good culture in Iowa football.
No, there's no question.
I think they're
going
to play well tomorrow.
I do too. In fact, this time last week, as you go back, we both thought that both of the locals would be talking about a loss when we reconvened on Monday.
And a pretty significant loss for both of
them. Yeah, we did. And they were a whole lot closer than we foresaw. I think we're going to be talking about both teams putting one in the win column.
I certainly buy that with Iowa State.
I'm buying it with Iowa. I think that they're going to give Minnesota all they
I think
want.
It's going to be a good game. I think it'll come down to the end.
And Minnesota, Trent, I just don't see how they keep doing this week after week. Look, you said it early in the season when I was poking holes in my Gophers pick because I thought I got
You're
it wrong.
About ready to jump off the bandwagon.
Right. And you said, you know what? Normally, you got to give Minnesota a little bit. I'm paraphrasing you. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should ask you to say it since you said it.
But I told you, these are games. I've watched Gopher football for a long time, and they lose these games.
Right.
They don't find a way to beat South Dakota State.
No. Nope.
They lose in overtime against Fresno.
Yep.
They drop against a bad Georgia Southern team. They lose that football game after winning the first two.
But they won.
They won all three of them.
Right.
And they got by Purdue, and all of a sudden, that momentum started to build.
And they started to get some confidence. They're a much better football team, Trent.
If you're basing your diagnosis on what you saw week one against South Dakota State,
can't.
Completely different team.
Completely. The offensive line is doing what they're... Now, they made some changes, and they had to.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll get Tom Cakert in here, Dylan Montz as well, before we get out to 11 o'clock. Hey, we've got tickets to Iowa, Illinois.
Oh, yeah.
KXNO.com. I checked the leaders. I checked the entrance yesterday. Folks, there's 19 people in this... This is an exaggeration. There's 19 of you.
Free tickets, Iowa, Illinois.
This is essentially... You got to win
You got to win it.
Go to KXNO.com, click the contest tab. You have to beat 19 other people at this point. 19!
You can do it.
KXNO.com, contest tab. Minnesota, Iowa, total points this weekend. If you're closest without going over, you'll win two tickets to see Illinois and Iowa as the regular season curtain will come down at Kinnick Stadium next week. You want to be there? When Illinois pays a visit, you can win tickets. There's only 19 other fellow contestants that you have to beat for these tickets. Dr. Stephen Fuller, FullerDental.net, makes it possible, at least he did, when he hears there's 19. I don't believe that this is going to continue very much longer. Anyways, no, Doc's a good guy. Let's do this, Trent. It's time to put another $1,000 in somebody's bull bank account or in your bank account or wherever you can use the dough. Simply text the keyword CAR to 200-200 right now. That's CAR to 200-200.
You'll get a confirmation text and info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest.
All right, back with Tom Cakert, Dylan Montz to come this hour as we take a look at the Hawks and the Clones, Miller and Condon till noon. Des Moines Sports Station, 14-6
store. Your home for Iowa State women's basketball is right here. This is head coach Bill Fenley on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
All right, welcome back, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. With you here until noon, coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, our NFL segment will have the Chicago Bears and the Minnesota Vikings in the spotlight in their respective games. And then Bama Bob, Trent, and I will go around college football, Claxon's barbecue to be given away, and then our picks before we get out of here at noon. Let's get Dylan Montz in here, AmesTrib.com. Dylan joins us twice weekly, Monday to recap and Friday to preview, and he's back with us. Texas pays a visit. How are you, Dylan Montz?
Doing pretty well, guys. How about you?
Doing really well. Thanks for coming on, as always. Temperatures, by the sounds of things, at game time, going to be somewhere in the mid-40s, so not perhaps as frigid as some would have liked when Texas pays their first visit to Ames in the month of November. How big of a factor is it, Dylan? Is it more between the ears, or how big of a factor do you think this is that Texas is finally coming to the most northern outpost in the Big 12 in the month of November?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is probably an above-the-shoulders thing, especially if Iowa State was able to get some sort of lead on Texas. Then if it's a little chilly, windy, then maybe some of that starts to set in. But otherwise, I think it's just football, honestly. It'll be different, obviously, because Texas doesn't play in it as regularly as Iowa State has. And Iowa State has obviously had some strange weather games this season. Mm-hmm. But I really think it's kind of a head thing. And the only interesting part might be, is what Tom Herman kind of said this week. If it is really windy and Jack tries, then that kind of alters maybe what you want to do game plan wise. Right. But otherwise, temperature is just temperature.
A little chilly, little wind, little weather. Texas coming north, and in November to do it. It's going to be, I think, an intriguing football game for a myriad of different reasons. Now, Texas still has an opportunity themselves to get to the Big 12 title game, which is crazy. Still have Baylor themselves in front of them. So there's still a ton to play for. What about Iowa State? For all intents and purposes, the chances of getting to the title game are out the window. What's Iowa State? What have they been talking about? What's still to play for them?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is just knowing what's out there. I think in a lot of these games that they've lost, maybe obviously Oklahoma kind of maybe notwithstanding, they felt like they've been the better team. And even against Oklahoma, yep, when they aren't, you know, quote unquote, on paper the better team, they still had a chance to win. So I think it's more of just probably a thing of proving it to themselves that they are kind of the team that they anticipated they would be coming into the season, going out and still having an opportunity to finish 8-4 if they can get these last three. So I think, obviously, you know, the Big 12 title game aspirations were all kind of there, but I think there's still a lot, you know, on the table, just given maybe what the history of Iowa State football is and what this team can accomplish with potentially winning 8 games in a row, 3 years in a row.
Yeah, that's certainly something never been done before, nowhere close to it. Well, you know, when you look at this Texas team, and back to the wind, and I agree with you, I think that's more of a factor, potentially, than the weather will be. I don't know how much you've watched Texas. Whenever I've seen them down the stretch, it's their kicker. Dicker the kicker is what they call him. Boy, he's got a really strong leg. His accuracy is maybe a little bit questionable, but they don't hesitate putting him out there for over 50 if there's a spot that calls for it. Dicker, their kicker, very good if it comes down to that.
And he's been in pressure situations too.
Great point.
They had game-winning field goals against Kansas and Kansas State. Both drives engineered by Sam Ehlinger, who I think is, you know, really, really good. A top 4 quarterback in the league, top 5 depending on how you view Charlie Brewer maybe in that conversation. Mm-hmm. Or you know, maybe Spencer Sanders if he's up there or not. But anyway, Dicker is, you know, that's kind of what you need from a kicker. You need that trust, that belief that you can go from distance, but also, you know, big mental spots as well when the game is literally on the line.
Opportunity for Brock Purdy certainly to make a big splash. Played very well, had the opportunity, and of course the 2-point conversion there at the end. You know, this team has been able to respond. They've been able to bounce back after these tough losses, and you got to be hopeful about that. Brock Purdy going forward in his future, what more do you still want to see out of him?
Yeah, I thought he responded, I think, the way people wanted him to against Oklahoma after the way the Oklahoma State game ended. You know, I think it's not probably just a Purdy deal, but probably just the offense is finding a way to put points on the board early. And that's just been the thing, especially the last couple games, that has lacked for whatever reason, whether it's situational, whether it's penalties setting them back, because that was kind of the thing against Oklahoma. I think You know, there were six or seven false starts and just really kind of costly moments as well. So, you know, it's all going to rest on Purdy as the quarterback, but I think it's just the offense kind of finding ways to click early and not fall behind. You know, it was 21-10 at one point against Oklahoma State, and then obviously they were down three touchdowns a couple of different times against Oklahoma and having to climb all the way back in those, and then you can even go back to the Baylor game as well. So it's just finding ways to get off to a fast start and finding some relaxation, I guess, or being able to establish some sort of rhythm and not have to always, you know, be in pressure situations where you got to feel like you got to throw the ball to catch up or do it quickly.
What does John Haycock fear most about this Texas team? Obviously, the quarterback, Ellinger, I'm with you. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And there's a whole bunch of them in this league, which makes him, it makes it difficult to, you know, to slot him, if you will. But Ingram can run the football. Ellinger can run the football. He's a huge threat. And if you get in his way, he's going to run through you. Not going to try and go around you. Duvernay, I like him as much as I like Johnson. They got a couple of weapons that can catch the football. What worries Haycock more, the running game or the fact that Ellinger can do some damage through the air?
Yeah, I think it all actually kind of originates from what the line does. That's kind of where Texas has had the upper hand the last few years when they've played Iowa State, and why they've, you know, some of those scores have maybe been more lopsided than some of the other games Iowa State's played, is because they just get bullied on the line so much. I think that's probably a little more neutralized this year. So I think it probably comes down to Ellinger, because you don't know exactly what he's going to do, because he is an effective runner, because he has big weapons. Keyonta Ingram has been running the ball effectively. The one thing to watch is, I saw Brian Davis from the Austin American Statesman report that Colin Johnson may or may not play.
Interesting.
He's been dealing with a hamstring injury, so that's kind of something to pay attention to, because obviously, you know, he's one of their key guys. Yep. So. I think it's probably all kind of originates from Ellinger, but it also kind of comes back to the line and what they've been able to do against Iowa State the last few years.
So not just Texas, Iowa State this weekend, but another big one, Oklahoma, Baylor. You give the Bears any chance at all to pulling out this upset and winning this one, keeping the perfect season alive?
Yeah, it was some of the voodoo magic that Baylor's been able to pull off this year. I'd probably be foolish not to at least give them a chance. But I like Oklahoma in this game. I think this is probably one where, you know, not Baylor's a little bit more exposed maybe with some of the athletes that Oklahoma has. But give Baylor credit. It's been unbelievable to watch. I think four Big 12 games have been one score, and they've won those four by a combined 14 points, I think. So they're almost like the funhouse mirror version of Iowa State, with, you know, losing four games by 11 points total. Baylor's won four by 14. So I think they certainly are improved. They're talented. They're going to have a shot, but I like Oklahoma in that one.
Good stuff, Dylan Motz. Appreciate you coming on. We will catch up with you on Monday at this time to recap and then to preview the finale at Jack Trice Stadium as Kansas will pay a visit. Thank you, Dylan. Appreciate you coming on. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Dylan Mons from the Ames Tribune, amestrib.com. Rank the quarterbacks in the Big 12. I mean, you don't have to do it all of them, but Ellinger 4 or 5 seems
low.
But there's some good. We both like Brewer. We both like Purdy. We both like Hurts. Sanders, depends what day you watch him. Hell, Stanley at Kansas isn't awful.
But he's down on the list.
Yeah, he's down on the list. I'm just saying, there's some quarterbacks in this league. Is Ellinger?
No.
No, I'm with you.
No. Not that low.
No.
I mean, if you're just talking about the quarterback, not the talent around him and everything else.
Better than Skylar Thompson at K-State.
Yes.
Oh. Bowman at Texas Tech's been in and out of the lineup
he's
so much.
Certainly better than Jet Duffy.
Right. Interesting to
pick. Who would you have at the top? Who's the best?
Hurts, I think, just because.
Is he the best, though?
In the college game, the way he runs, I think he is. Who's your guy?
But it's at Oklahoma system.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't Ellinger in Oklahoma system be the best quarterback in the league? I think so.
Potentially, yeah.
I think it's more. That's where the conversation and the goalposts are kind of moving there.
Yeah, yeah. No, look at
because Ellinger might be the most talented.
Well, preseason trend, I had him in New York at the end of the year. I thought he's a.
I told you they're going to lose three games this year. Uh-huh. Oh, you.
No. I picked Texas to win the conference.
Well, still a chance.
Yeah. It's
not a real good one.
No, look, I didn't give Iowa State. I gave them very little chance to win this game tomorrow. back in the, you know, it's funny. I was thinking, it's not funny, okay, but with the segments that we kill leading, you know, June, July, August, mm-hmm. right? Mertz at Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
He hasn't played a freaking down.
No, he hasn't.
Red Johnson at Northwestern. Yeah. Going to change the way Fitz has done business. He can't see the field. Five-star from Clemson. Are you kidding me? Don't sleep on Northwestern.
Benched for right. a kid that should be playing
Green.
At Princeton.
Yeah, he should be. And Green, who got hurt before that. Anyways, it's... I thought about that last night. Some of the stuff that we talk about to get to this point. And how bad we can be. Thankfully, the audience has very short memories for the most part.
We hope so.
Indeed, we do. We'll come back with Tom Cankert, HawkeyeReport.com. We'll talk about this Minnesota-Iowa game. We'll do some basketball with Tom as far as recruiting. Do we want to go back to the DePaul game? I mean, I really don't. Well, I'm in a really good mood.
Until tonight, it's...
Now, is that game on TV tonight, by the way?
No, this is the last one that isn't on TV. Just two this year, though. Mm-hmm. Remember there was one of those non-conference, like six of the games were on the streaming-only BTN part?
Yeah, I do.
Only the exhibition game, and this is the only regular season. Not too bad.
Live PD, I think.
Oh.
I think that's for me tonight.
Isn't there a decent college football game tonight?
There is, and it's. I don't want to spoil it because it's my sneaky good game, and it's not till 8:30 at night, and it's Fresno State. And who? Fresno State, and it's a...
San Diego State. The other one's good, too. La Tech, Marshall?
Is it?
La Tech's 8-1.
Well, and
Marshall's 6-3.
The point spread's doing a lot of crazy stuff because of what? Their speculation is one of these two teams...
La Tech has a bunch of suspensions, right?
Yes, pending.
Yes, yeah.
I saw a tweet from one of the...
Dave Koken was talking about that.
Was it Koken? Yeah. I was going to say one of the people Smoking in Vegas. Koken. Smoking Dave Koken. Jimmy B's old partner. You ever seen his picture on Twitter?
Looks completely different than the real man.
He's got sunglasses on. He's got one of those, what do you call those hats that some guys wear? It's kind of like a flat top. It's not a, I know what some people call them, and I can't say that on the air.
Okay, all right. Is it the hat that Samuel L. Jackson used to wear all the time?
I don't know him. I mean, I know who he is.
The
I
actor?
Remember the hat. Yeah, I don't remember the hat. Anyways, he's a different guy.
We're going down a path we're not very strong here.
That's for sure. So we'll go to break. We'll come back, and we'll talk to Tom Cankert on the Hawks in Minnesota. We're here until noon. It's Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460.
KXNO. Streaming live from coast to coast on iHeartRadio. This is 1460 KXNO.
Kind of continues 1460 KXNO with you until noon here today. Ken Miller talking with Scotty now across the window.
We had a little business to take care of and ran a little long. Thank you for bringing us back in.
No problem.
Let's get to Tom Cankert, HawkeyeReport.com. He joins the program. Hello, Tom Cankert. How are you?
I'm doing terrific.
Well, let's talk basketball before we talk football. And after missing out on Xavier Foster, I thought, you know what, and I'm not calling him a consolation prize by any means, but Josh Ogunale is a 6'11 kid. We both were co-chairs of the Gabe Olushanie fan club and formed that club very early. They're both UK. They're both Brits. They're both bigs. I agree with Trent, who said yesterday Olushanie's a little bit more athletic, at least at this point. I like this signing, Tom. I do, and it certainly fills a need.
Yeah, it does. Onagale is, he's kind of what they needed to pick up some size. With Kreener graduating, they didn't really fill the void with Tyler Cook in the last class. So with him leaving for the NBA, I think this is a. A solid pickup, and Ken and I will be in charter members of the next fan club, right?
Yes, indeed. I'm in. Sight unseen, sign me up.
Yeah. It's not a. I don't think this is a bad pickup either.
I don't
at all. He is not like Gabe because he's more below the rim, and but he can shoot it better. He's a kid who can step out to three and shoot it very comfortably. In fact, that's what attracted is the Worcester Academy coach to him. He saw him shooting threes at a tournament over in Manchester, England, and that's how he found him when they were playing in an event over there. So I like the pickup.
Got a big guy there, but for the here and now, an ugly performance against DePaul. The Demon shot lights out that night. Those games are going to happen, but at best, this is going to be, I think, an average DePaul team, maybe scratching to be a bubble team. Still with that, there's a lot of season to be had here. Are we already looking at a lost season, or do you have any reasons for optimism about this team getting turned around?
Well, I think the optimism is just that it's just so early.
November 15th, right.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's way early in the season, and teams can figure themselves out. And I think we all kind of forget, you know, if you look at the Iowa team, they're essentially, you know, down so many starters from last year. When you look at it from the perspective of Tyler Cook's gone, Nicholas Bear was basically a starter.
Mm-hmm.
Moss. You know, Bohannon's not himself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's four really key players that they are not, they don't have right now. And teams are going to be scouting Iowa differently. And Luca and Joe Wieskamp are going to get more attention, and they've got to adjust to that. I'm going to give it a little time, see how things go. I think we'll kind of get a better idea starting Thanksgiving when they go to the tournament in Vegas, and then to Syracuse, mm-hmm. and a couple Big Ten games in Iowa State. At that point, you know, if they're getting drilled in those games, then I think it's time to, you know, hit the panic button a little bit.
Tom, I'm as we move to football, I'm curious what kind of Minnesota team's going to show up. They played, you know, arguably their biggest game in decades last week against Penn State. The building was banged out. Terrific edge of your seat got really tight in the fourth quarter. They hung on with that interception. The place went crazy. Everybody left their stands and joined the team on the field. The team had the biggest jump in the history of the college football playoff rankings from 17 all the way into 8, and that's never happened before as far as the team jumping into the top 10. Tanner Morgan couldn't play any better than he did. Bateman and Johnson went crazy. I just don't know if they can do that again, Tom. This is why I think Iowa's got, I think the right team is favored in the football game. I do, and that's based on, I just don't know if Minnesota can get up like they did last week for this one. I get that there's a trophy and it's a huge rivalry, but man, oh man, these kids are human.
Does PJ Fleck just say, you know what, you guys did all this stuff, and then show them the point spread and just say, nobody still respects you?
Yeah,
yeah. He's you got know. That going for him, sure.
I don't know. I just think team, and we've seen this in the Big Ten West, 2015 Iowa, no respect, and they just kept playing and kept winning. Last year, that Northwestern team, nobody believed in them. And all they did was keep eking out close wins, mm-hmm. much like Minnesota's done for parts of this year, especially early on. And they all they do is just keep winning. And I just wonder if Minnesota's just that team this year. And you know, I picked Minnesota today, and I didn't do that earlier this year. But I just think they've got the old four-leaf clover, and they're just gonna figure out a way to win.
Just real quick, breaking news, Myles Garrett suspended indefinitely, minimum of at least the remainder of the regular season, and should they make the playoffs.
Wow, big certainly news right there in the NFL. Tom, you know, this Minnesota program, and I think we've all, anybody with covering the Hawkeyes has had their doubts about Phil Fleck and what he was going to be able to be. And if he did win, and he did get the program turned around at a big level, if he would stay, do you expect him, if he gets an offer, he gets one of those big time jobs, to stay around Minnesota and continue building that program up?
I thought he'd already just agreed to another extension recently.
Yeah, so, but you know those don't mean anything, Tom.
Well, yes and no. I mean, then that's just really bad form if you bolt in those circumstances. I'm one of those guys that kind of, I probably have to apologize to PJ in the post game because I kind of compared him to a Tim Brewster like character,
yeah.
Where he was just bloviating a lot and just talking so much and not really having a lot of substance behind it. But the thing that kind of turned it for me was back at Big Ten Media Days, and I was sitting there listening to him, and he talked about the strength coach that he hired, and he said, I called Chris Doyle and asked him for a name of somebody. And that just kind of gave me a lot more respect for him, because I think he understands it then, that if you're going to Doyle for a strength coach, you're a smart guy, and you're not just some sort of, there's a lot of shtick with him, with the row the boat and all the other stuff and elite and everything else. But I think that's just who he is, but outwardly, but I also do think he's a really good football coach.
If Brandon Smith's going to dress tomorrow and go through the warm-ups and do everything like he's a player in the football game, is there an outside chance he plays in the football game tomorrow? I know that they're thinking that Illinois he's going to play against Illinois. At least Ferentz believes that. But why go through this tomorrow if there's no chance?
Yeah, they've done that before, and I don't know why you do it if you're going to dress him, and why not just play him? But I think they want to get him back in that routine of dressing out and going through pregame and kind of ease him back in a week earlier than he would normally play. I'd love to see him play, and maybe they will try and see if they can get him out there for a little bit, but it just seems kind of doubtful that they're going to do that.
Division, of course, a title off the table now with Minnesota, Wisconsin in front of them. Iowa, in fact, is looking up in the standings right now at your beloved Illini on the other side of the river in the Quad Cities. Yeah, Tom, this has been a two-year window where there's been a ton of talent on this team, and they haven't been able to break through. Even if this ends up being a successful year, there's going to be a lot of questions, I think, this offseason about what needs to change. Anything at all you believe will change this offseason?
I don't really think so. And remember that if Iowa wins out and wins the bowl game, which they've done the last 2 years, they could end up with a 10-win season.
Yeah.
So it's not like this has been a horrific season. It's just that they have lost the teams that they probably should have lost to. They lost on the road at Wisconsin, which is perfectly understandable, I think. You go into that game thinking more loss than win. Michigan, tough place to play. Guys haven't been there. None of the guys on the team have played in the Big House. It's a different environment. And then, Penn State up until last week was undefeated this year, and pretty good football team. So I think a lot of the angst that we've heard in the last week is twofold. It's the offense hasn't performed really well, but we're also a year removed from the offense scoring 31 points a game, and the year before that, 28 points a game. So honestly, with the offense, and I went back and looked at the numbers, last year, Noah Fant and TJ Hockenson caught 11 touchdowns in the red zone, red zone throws, and they just missed that. They don't have that this year. They don't have a go-to in the red zone in the passing game, and I think that's been the glaring thing this year. But I just don't see Kirk shaking things up a whole lot at all.
Tom, we are out of time. We will reconvene a week from today. Illinois paying a visit to Kinnick Stadium. Thank you, Tom Kakert.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Good to talk to you. Tom Kakert, HawkeyeReport.com. Back with the 11 o'clock hour NFL conversation to start it. Bears and then Vikings. Trent and I until noon. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.